Hello, and welcome to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections Podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Adams, and I'm glad that you've tuned in for this special episode where I'm going to be talking to my daughter, who recently graduated from our homeschool. She and I together represent first and second generation homeschool graduates, and she is our first child to launch from our homeschool. Before introducing Lauren, I want to share 2 Timothy 3:15 through 16 for our scripture passage for this episode. It says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." In those verses, Paul is reminding Timothy of his legacy of faith and how he was brought up under the teaching of the scripture, which is of God and is profitable for our lives. As I look back at my experience being homeschooled in the pioneer days of the homeschooling movement and then consider the years homeschooling my own children, I strongly believe that homeschooling affords parents a beautiful opportunity to teach their children the truths of Scripture as a lifestyle of constantly talking about the Word of God and seeking to apply it in our lives as families. So on today's podcast, my daughter Lauren and I are going to be discussing 10 things that we have loved from our homeschool journey. Now, my journey goes back 40 years ago when I was a little girl being homeschooled, and Lauren's journey has been in a different homeschool era where homeschooling has been much more widespread and many more curriculums and resources have been available to aid in the journey. So welcome to the podcast again, Lauren. You have been on here once before, and it is good to have you joining me once again.
Well, it's really good to be back. I think the last time I was on here, I think it was almost exactly a year and a week maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hadn't thought about that. Well, you and I represent two generations of homeschooling. And so I want us to share with the listeners from our experiences and hopefully something that we share will encourage them today. I will get things rolling by sharing something that I appreciate about my homeschool experience. And we'll go through about 10 points together. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Good. Well, I think we could probably go on forever about these things, but yeah, for time's sake, we'll try to limit ourselves to about 10. So for the first, I am so thankful that homeschooling provided an atmosphere where I could grow up and learn in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 makes it so clear that the fear or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I am really thankful that I was not just taught back screwing up, but that my parents taught me wisdom. We really need the wisdom to know how to apply the knowledge that we received. So when we look back at history, we can see that there were some really destructive men who possessed knowledge, like Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin. They were no dummies. They had knowledge, but they lacked the wisdom to know how to apply that knowledge. So I'm just so thankful that through homeschooling, my parents were able to teach me wisdom along with the knowledge. All right, it is your turn. What is one thing, Lauren, as you look back at your homeschool experience, what's one thing that you're grateful for?
Well, one of the things I think I'm most grateful for is that I was not brought up under the tremendous peer pressure of having that many people my age around me for that many hours a day in a secular environment. Even if it was a Christian environment, I think that just being around that many kids, I think I really would have learned to, because friends were really, really important to me. Having friends, and I've always been the kind of person to defer to my friends because I want to have a good relationship. And I think I really would have learned to not think for myself. I think I would have found it really easy to go with the flow, and I would not have gained a mentality that as a young person, I need to think for myself and judge the things that I hear through the light of a biblical worldview and through scripture, and to be critical of an idea when I hear it. And I think that I would not at all be who I am today had I not been kept away from that peer pressure. I think it was very healthy for me to have friends and, you know, at church and at other things, I was able to make friends with people of all different ages. But I think having most of my time spent at home, I think it really helped me to forge a mental process of thinking for myself in light of what my worldview is.
So you weren't just pushed through a system.
No.
But you had more of a tailor-made education and
right.
discipleship program. And I'm so thankful that we've been able to experience that
together. Did not go through the cookie cutter mold.
Right. But it's been so special, Lauren, to homeschool you and have these days with you and be able to learn and grow together. Because as you've been learning, the Lord has been teaching me as your mother, as I've looked to him, and as he's just, it's a process where I think a beautiful process where parent and child are learning together.
It's been wonderful. I've seen how you've grown through the years, and just it's as the oldest, it's really neat to look back at from my very first memories to the present and see how our family has grown in the way we think about things.
Yeah,
and
the longer-term perspective than some of the younger ones,
right,
for
like
sure.
The younger ones are going to remember you with more of this. I mean, Ella Ruth probably isn't even going to remember a time that you weren't podcasting and had your book, whereas I remember the early days when you weren't much more than a decade or so older than me, really.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. How time flies. Well, we're at the third thing now, and I would say I am thankful for all the time that was opened up to me as a young lady by being homeschooled, time to spend with my parents and with my brother. And it also gave me a lot more time to be involved in ministry and to pursue crafts and music and hobbies and things that were an interest to me. And I definitely have not had that kind of time with my family or to pursue hobbies since starting a family, starting my own family. So homeschooling was a window of time where I was able to do more of those things, which was a blessing. God gives us different seasons in our lives. And so that was a season and it had its own blessings. And now I'm in a different season. And I definitely am thankful for the blessings of this season as well. Lauren, what's another thing you appreciate about being homeschooled?
Well, this is another one of the biggest things that I'm grateful for, just all around in my life, is that I learned that books could be wonderful friends.
Yes.
And through reading specifically children's classics, I was exposed to older ideas and mentalities. It was not, I did not necessarily grow up with kind of the modern way of thinking all around. Like, I know we would take trips to a used bookstore that was geared for homeschoolers, and I would walk into those bookshelves with a bag and get a ton of books and check them with you and then go home and feast on them.
Yeah.
And
we worked hard at building a family library around here.
And that's one of the
here,
biggest things that I'm grateful for that you and Daddy did, is because not only do I think it helped me to learn to focus on things, whereas had I been more into social media early and things like that,
I think my attention span would be a lot less. I'm already an easily distracted person, but I think my attention span would be a lot shorter. And I think that through reading older books, it presented me with a more mature line of thought. Some of the more, just looking back on some children's classics, the behaviors that were expected of children, yes, and expected of society. I grew up with that because I spent so much time, you know, when we would have our room time, I would take that time to often read, or I found any time to read that I could, basically. And getting exposed into that line of thought when I started learning what our society was actually like, I know I was a little shocked and disappointed that it was not more mature.
Yeah, you've had appreciation for the older paths.
Right, and just also, I think reading older books and classics early on also gave me a higher taste of word form.
It's definitely expanded your vocabulary.
Yes, yes. Like, just the wordsmithing of books, that it really was a beautiful craft. It feels like it's been so dumbed down when I read a modern book versus an older book. I know, I think I first really started noticing I loved older books when I was around 13 and I read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne, and I just loved it, and I'm so glad that I acquired that taste, because it is an acquired taste.
Well, you know, when you were little, your daddy and I went to a few conferences where the lady that was giving the workshops there talked about keeping twaddly books off of our shelves and filling our shelves with stories full of virtue and truth and character and wisdom. And so we've searched high and low through the years to find these kinds of stories. And it's been really beautiful to see that take root in your heart and life. And we're just hoping that one day our grandchildren will be reading some of these books that line our shelves. Mm.
Well, I love how when we walk through our house, pretty much every room is going to have books in it, whether it's the kitchen's full of cookbooks, or the schoolroom's full of school books, and the upstairs full of books. And
this
I've got books scattered everywhere across the place.
That's
where I am.
That's true. And as our listeners know, we recently moved, and so we had box after box of books to bring over here. And
it was beautiful.
Fun to open those boxes after having those books out of our sight for even some of them just like a few weeks. But when we opened the boxes, and
my old friends,
it was, oh, our friends, we've missed you. It's so fun to line our new shelves with those books. Well, that takes us to a fifth thing. So we're halfway to 10 now, and as I look back, I am really thankful that while I was young, I spent my days in the Christian atmosphere of my home. I remember growing up hearing Christian radio playing throughout the day and the night. And I remember my mom sitting at the piano and playing hymns. And in my mind's eye, I can also see my dad sitting in his office, which was in our home. He was a pastor and he worked out of our home. And just working on his sermons, spending his days involved in ministry projects in his office. And just this Christian environment was like a greenhouse for me to grow and flourish and mature in preparation for life and the purposes that the Lord had for me. And it was a secure, encouraging place to grow up. And I'm just thankful that I was surrounded by a culture of truth and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that my parents were always sharing truth with me as we would rise up and as we would lie down and as we would walk along the way. Well, Lauren, I've loved your point so far. So what else would you like to share from your experiences growing up in our homeschool?
Well, it's kind of the flip side of the point you just did. Mine is that I'm so glad I was not exposed to a lot of garbage that infiltrates the public school system and the attitudes that I did not have to be around. because there's so much untruth in the public school system. There's so many lies. I mean, I would say just about every subject probably has an anti-God attitude and is filled with half-truths or not enough of the real truth. And I'm so glad, the more I've learned about the state of the public school system, I'm so glad I didn't have to go through that and be exposed to that, because when I look back, I see how I had a very sensitive nature as a kid. I still do, but I really think that had I been in that culture, it really would not have been healthy for me.
Even the things like bullying, yes, that kids do to one another.
I think that really would have hurt me. And over the years, you can't be in that sort of environment without picking it up on your own self. It's going to hurt you, but I think you're also going to start reflecting. And I look back and it's been easy for me. Especially when I was a younger teenager, tween, how easy it was for me to spend time with people and start picking up on their attitudes. And I'm so glad that I didn't get exposed to all that. Whereas now, as I've been an older teen and I've been learning more of what the world is like through listening to some of the podcasts that my dad has recommended that talk about cultural things, and gotten passionate about the pro-life movement, just I'm so glad that I did not have to face that garbage that I don't think I would have been ready for. And I don't want to fill my mind with garbage even now. I don't think that any human or there, I don't think that our souls should be bathed in the junk that's out there, but especially for younger children, I'm so glad that I was not exposed to it when I don't think I could have handled it.
That leads really nicely into point number seven that I want to make from my homeschool experience. As I look back, I'm glad that I learned truth in my formative years that set a foundation for me to stand upon. Yes. The curriculums that my parents used with me came from a Christian perspective. Now, there were not a lot of curriculum choices, but the ones that we used came from a Christian perspective. And so later in life, when I was faced with the unugliness of the culture and the lies of the enemy, as well as the philosophies that just infiltrate so many areas of culture that are anti-biblical, I was rooted and grounded in truth already, and I could recognize that this was not true because I knew the truth. And so that was, and it still is, a blessing to me. And I think that's kind of what you were saying, Lauren.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, this has been fun, and we're at number eight. What else comes to your mind as you think about your experience being homeschooled?
Well, that would have to go to gaining a love of history, which has only grown.
Yes, it has.
I think it probably started with the historical audio dramas that you played from the time we were little, or history curriculum, which had a wonderful reader to it. And so since what I would love to do, I still am very craftsy, is when we'd have our downtime or when I would go to bed at night, I would play these historical audio dramas or read aloud history curriculums. And because I was so fascinated by stories, I loved stories, I still love stories, history just seemed to me to be another story, which was fascinating because it was true. And through the years, I just listened to so much history while I would play quietly, you know, with my little ponies or whatever.
I don't know if you remember
cut
this,
paper.
But we used to make little history doll puppets.
We had a history timeline,
and some of that was going on when we had a little window of time in Germany. We traveled with Daddy for work to Germany, and we had a window in our apartment in Germany where we were putting up little historical figures, like a timeline.
You've been very intentional about having all sorts of history books, reading history curriculum, I mean, really, since I can remember, because I was 6 back then.
Well, I get excited about history. And
me
the reason is because history is his story.
Yes.
And if we can see the providence of God in what we're studying, if we can trace his fingerprints, we can be encouraged through history.
Yes. And one thing that I've loved is how it used to be a fascination with, you know, even before I could read, I would look at, you know, these beautiful history books that you had for us. I loved those. But then through the years, you know, as a younger teen, I just loved history so much that I continued to listen to the history that I had listened for so many years. And I would even go and get old history curriculums off of the bookshelf and just read through some of my favorite parts. But I've loved and been so grateful for a appetite for learning history, how it did not stop with, you know, with what you had given me. It moved on to the point where in the past year or so, I've gotten more passionate about learning church history. Mm-hmm. I listened to a course that my dad was listening to, and I fell in love with church history because it was so fascinating to see this whole other half of history that often can be neglected and be viewed as boring when it's really not. And even more recently, I've been listening to another thing that my dad has been listening to, a history of the Soviet Union by someone who went through the prison camps. And even though it's extremely detailed, I think it's around 60 hours, and it's extremely grueling in some parts, it's still very important to me, and I'm so grateful that I have this love of history, because I've heard it said that to not know history is to be controlled, and it's so valuable that we know history, because if you don't know history, it's going to repeat itself.
Right. But when we know history, we can learn lessons from the past.
Yes.
And hopefully not continue to repeat the same mistakes in the future.
And I think it's such a beautiful thing to have a respect for the way that people thought through the years and understand that the way we think with our modern mentality it's a very recent thing, the way that we think about things nowadays, and just it gives you a greater appreciation for where we are and for the freedoms that we have, the medical knowledge that we have, so many things. You gain a deeper appreciation for the more you know about history.
Yeah, even with looking back at hymns that were written centuries before us, it expands our understanding because we're not just hearing the ideas of modern man in this culture, but we're hearing the ideas of people from centuries before us and what they knew of God and mm-hmm. his word, the scriptures, and it just enriches our faith so much, doesn't it?
And I think it also helps a lot to know the mentality of the people who wrote those hymns, what they thought of their hymns. Like, it's very fascinating to think about how we might view a hymn, but the way that the people who wrote that hymn can often be completely different. And I think, especially in knowing church history, knowing how people, like, just how they understood life and understood their worldviews at that time and their faith and how their faith applied to their lives. It's just...
And we've had it so easy in recent years as Christians. But many of these people really knew what it was to suffer for the cause of the Christ.
Yes.
And what it means to take your cross and follow him.
Yes.
Well, I have a feeling that we, the two of us, could do an entire podcast series on history. We're quite passionate about it, aren't we?
Yeah, I think if you get me talking about history, I could probably go on for several hours.
Well, we have a few more points to make, so I guess we'll move forward. But maybe we can revisit this another time. But we've made it to number 9. And I'll say that homeschooling sort of trained me to cultivate friendships with people of all ages. You've already touched on this a little, Lauren. I had friends who were adult ladies who discipled me in Christ. And I also had friends with little people, little friends in the church who I was trying to point to Jesus. Yes, it is. And I also had friends my own age who loved the Lord and encouraged me. And growing up, it was a blessing to know how to relate to people of all ages and glean from all of those experiences. You often see that in the homeschool community. You see that young people, they're not stuck in a classroom with only peers their own ages. And so they're skilled in relating to people of varied ages. And when you think about it, that's more of the real world.
Yes.
And one complaint people have said so often about homeschooling is like, well, you're not putting them in the real world. So they know the real world. It's a myth. And the real world and requires that we know how to interact with people of all ages. And so, you know, when you think about it, after you graduate, you're never again in a world where everyone is your own age.
Right.
So it truly is the real world to know how to interact with siblings of different age groups and with adults and with young people. And so I would say growing up with friendships with people of various ages prepared me for life after my school years. Well, you get to finish this list of 10 things that we are grateful for about our homeschool experiences. What would you like to share as your last point today?
It's sort of, in a way, wrapping up everything I've already said in a nutshell on books and history and everything. But the resources / the family library that enriched my mind and gave me a hunger to learn and learning to listen through the years. Just having that time where I would have been stuck in a classroom where I was able to learn to do crafts with my hands and sit and be quiet and listen, or sit and be quiet and read. You and Daddy were so intentional about making sure that our family library of resources was vast, and I cannot express how much I appreciate that, because it was so wonderful to learn how to sit and listen and be quiet, but just it gave me a hunger to learn about what really matters. And I am so grateful for that, because I guess it can be sort of viewed that maybe we, you know, graduate and maybe, you know, get involved with something or other, or get a job or get experience in a field or something. But once, you know, our learning time is up, we're done learning. But I've been trained to, I think even subconsciously trained, that it's life, we should never stop learning. I mean, there's always something new to learn about.
Embracing learning, yes, I mean, I agree.
First grade to a 12th grade is way too short a time to learn everything that, I mean, it's really even scratched the surface of anything.
And this is a biblical concept, because in our Christian life, we're supposed to be ever pressing onward.
Yes.
And Christ is sanctifying us. We're learning, we're growing, you know, we're having
we're not
deeper
supposed to be
understanding
stagnant.
Of the scriptures. That's exactly right. Not stagnating. Well, Lauren, I think we could go on and on here, but hopefully these 10 things that we have shared have been a blessing to our listeners. And I also want to thank you for your faithfulness in editing this podcast. I could not do what I do here without your technical expertise. So thank you so much for all that you contribute to this podcast.
Well, it's been fun to work on it. It's been something to learn in, and I've enjoyed getting to get that experience, and
it's fun to share it together.
It's been fun.
Do it together. And I'm really happy that I've been able to have you behind the microphone today. So thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you for having me on. This has been really fun.
Well, friends, I am always grateful for you tuning into the podcast. And if this is a blessing to you, would you consider sharing about the podcast with your friends and leaving a review over at iTunes? We desire to see more moms find out about the podcast and be encouraged to love the Lord and to embrace discipling their children in His ways. We appreciate your help in those ways so very much. Also, for more encouragement about mothering and homeschooling, please check out my book, Legacy Reflections of a Homeschooled Homeschooling Mama, available on Amazon through Family Renewal and through Sony Elise Books. The book is packed full of encouragement on how we can utilize this tool of home education to encourage our children to follow Christ and live in light of eternity. Many have been encouraged, and so I encourage you to check it out. Well, that wraps up this episode of the podcast. May the Lord grant you much favor and blessing until we meet again.